Thank you for sharing with us, Jesse. I have to say, I'm looking around the room this morning, I have to check my emotions as well. Just all those memories of back 2009, 2010, 2007 actually. 2007 or 8, we started the Bible study and the home fellowship and so forth. And just all those memories. Jeff and Kelly, you were a part of that. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. I just had to think this morning, wow, it's for you probably looking around here, you see all these little children as well, and all of a sudden they're taller than you are. So, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Thank you for sharing, Jesse, about the ministry there, update on your lives. We're excited to have you with us next weekend as well at the retreat. And wow, just the marks of truth in a group of people or a church is new birth, and then seeing those people go on into following the Lord and following through with baptism and just following the Lord. So wow, just all those stories, Jesse, is really inspiring to hear this morning. May God continue that in all of our lives, drawing us to Him. Okay, this morning I'm going to continue on. I had my last message was giving honor to the mother, and today is going to be focused on giving honor to the father. A little bit different. I'm a father also, so it's a little bit different to share from that perspective, but I'm going to just place myself in with you. I know I'm up here sharing this morning, but I also want to be vulnerable and just say, there's areas that I'm going to share that I have not fully accomplished or have gotten to my full potential yet. So I'm going to place myself with you this morning by all means, and just we're just going to look at the Word of God and then just hear what God has to say about us fathers. For the mothers, we gave a comprehensive list there the last time, which I'll do some of that with the fathers as well, but some of the responsibilities. She's a caregiver. She gives education and guidance. And this is teamed up with the husband, the father, of course. She looks to discipline, safety, advocacy, crisis management, routine management, nurturing relationships, discipleship, conflict resolution, behavior modeling, meal preparation, household management, time management, play and recreation, encouragement and motivation, planning and organization, socialization, and all of these have detail to go with them, but these are just a heading: empathy and compassion, household budgeting, self-care and community involvement, guiding our children in technology. She's a prayer warrior, support system, peacemaker, a role model, provider of hospitality, encourager of spiritual growth. And we say at the end, how do you have time for anything else? And so thank you to the mothers for contributing to family, this Christian walk, this amazing place that God has given us the opportunity to walk. So today we're looking at Father's Day, and just like to word it as we're celebrating Father's Day. It's okay to have celebrations. It's good to recognize the sacrifice and the unique role that fathers have in the home. Just a couple of statistics that I looked at. Without a father, and this is from the U.S. Census, says a significant number of children live in households without their fathers, approximately 18.3 million children. This is just in the U.S. So you're about one in four children live without a father in the home. That is just really hard to believe. And when you look at that, it's New York City has a population of around 8.2, 8.3, I think, something like that. So you're filling New York City with children twice that are living in fatherless homes. That's a lot of people. When you walk the streets of New York City, you see that. Single-parent households are primarily led by mothers, with about 80% of these homes headed by single mothers. So you think, how can we make a difference in this world? What can we do to help this situation? To me, it's a dire situation. It's a very sad story of where we are. And so what can we do to make a difference in our homes? And the answer is really, really simple. Fathers, be present in the home. Very simple principle. Fathers, be present in your home. You will make a difference in your own home. And through that, you will make a difference in other homes. With a father in the home, there's improved academic performance, enhanced social and emotional well-being, reduced likelihood of engaging in risky behaviors, less likely, this is an interesting one to me, less likely to deal with physical and mental issues. Not eliminated, but less likely. Think about that. The presence of a godly father can have a profound impact in a home. I'm not saying it's a fatherless home. I'm saying the father is there, but he's not present. Dude, are you with me? I'm gonna apply it more to us here this morning. But wow. And if you're here this morning and your father is not in the home, may God give you grace. I can't personally feel for you, but I just pray that you would turn to someone to walk with, and may God bless you and give you grace for that. So we're looking at honor, a testimony of esteem, any expression of respect or high estimation by words or actions, recognition or reverence. We're giving honor to the Father. And I'd like to say this morning, we want to do it twofold, is give honor to the fathers here, but also give honor to our Heavenly Father. And so we're giving honor to Him. The honor to the Father has for the Lord first is part of a reflection of how you're honored at home. The honor that you give your Heavenly Father as a father reflects also how you're honored in the home. Does that make sense? So I just want to go through a list of things, duties and responsibilities for the Father. There's 10 of them. And then also God's design for the Father as the Father leads a family. And then we'll go on into 1 Chronicles 28. We see a story there of David and Solomon, of how David prepared everything and handed it off to Solomon to build the temple later on then. So here's the list. Number one, we have a spiritual leader. These are duties and responsibilities. Leading the family in faith toward God, setting an example through prayer, Bible study, family devotions, and worship, and encouraging spiritual growth in children. Fostering an environment of unconditional love and affection, being a listening ear to everyone's concerns and feelings. That's a spiritual leader. A provider, ensuring the family's physical and financial needs are met, including food, shelter, education, while also providing spiritual and emotional support. Promoting a healthy lifestyle through good nutrition and exercise. Also ensuring the home is a safe space, both physically and emotionally. That's providing a lot of things. Being there for answers, for questions, children that need band-aids, just all those things that we probably haven't even thought about this morning. And if you're here this morning, you're not married, you're not a father yet, think about what your parents have done over the years. All these little things that they've just kind of rolled with, just kind of did as needed. Sacrificed their schedules, sacrificed things that they wanted to do possibly, but willingly and not necessarily a sacrifice, but just an honor to do that before the Lord. Number three, a role model of faith. Demonstrating godly character traits such as integrity, kindness, humility, and influencing children to live by these values. This is a father. Being a father is safe. Being a godly father or role model making it a place, putting himself in a place where he's safe to follow. Discipline in love is number four. Establishing fair boundaries and discipline based on godly and biblical principles. Teaching and applying responsibilities and consequences through love and understanding. Number five is a nurture of relationships. Promoting a spirit of cooperation and understanding among siblings. Fostering strong emotional bonds within the family. Creating an environment of trust, love, and open communication. Number six is teacher of values. Instilling moral values, ethics, and life lessons aligned with biblical and spiritual beliefs. Helping children to navigate life's challenges according to faith principles. Number seven, supportive partner. Collaborating with the mother, with the children's mother in parenting, respecting her role, and working together in decision-making for their lives as a couple and as a family, for the family. Supporting role in academics, school, and instilling a love for learning. Number eight, servant leadership. Serving the family selflessly, embodying humility, yet leading with purpose and prioritizing the family's well-being above personal desires. Number nine, an encourager. Motivating and uplifting children. Celebrating their achievements. Yesterday we got done with our school evaluations. We got done with our portfolios. Everything is in a binder for each child, and we present it to the evaluator, and she evaluates it for the year. What an accomplishment. We didn't get to celebrate it yet because my focus was this yesterday, but we plan to celebrate that. That is a big accomplishment at the end of a term for our family. Each child gets his special binder, and the older children now have a library of binders, and when you look back, you can kind of see the story of their life as far as academics and school and what they've been involved in each year, some of the things. Number 10, community involvement. Oh, I missed some there. And helping them pursue their dreams as the Lord opens doors in all things that are grounded in faith. Number 10, community involvement, encouraging family participation in church attendance and functions, and emphasizing the importance of serving others well. Being involved in outreach and giving back to those in need in the greater community. And so we see the role of a godly father, nurturing not only the physical but the emotional well-being of his family and their spiritual lives. Just helping to cultivate that. Sounds like a really tall task. And honestly, if you would ask me, is it easy? No, it's not easy. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. So here we have, next we have the God's design for the family, for the father, and then also some key insights from Scripture on why God values the father's role in the home. And key things that we can honor the Lord with. I think there's six of them. Number one is the spiritual authority and leadership. God values this. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And this is where I'm challenging myself, is you will only be able to go as far and as well as you lead yourself as a father. So God's design is for the fathers to provide that spiritual guidance, and the fathers are instructed to do that, to keep that Christ-centered and to have Christ-like behaviors and values. Number two, reflecting God's character. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So the father's love and commitment to his family is mirrored in the community and for humanity. And God enables the children. When we walk with God, God somehow enables the children when they have support. They just somehow gain courage to witness or talk with people or And some of you, by your stories, I've been experiencing. I know Seth, you shared some things already of how your children are just open because it's just an it's open at home, and you're open with people. But they God somehow enables them to do that when they're in an environment of love and care. And number three, providing for the family. God values this. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those in his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So he sees that very important. Fathers are called to protect and provide both physically and emotionally. Paul stresses the importance of this in Timothy, where he where he looks at the father's role as a caretaker and a sustainer. Number four, role modeling and guidance. Proverbs 20:7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. Blessed are his children after him. Illustrating how a father's actions directly influence the children's character and future. Isn't that profound? Whatever the father pursues, his pursuits, his actions, is reflected in the children. It comes out through the children. So praise God, we have a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate that love of God. Number five, discipline of love. Hebrews 12:7-11. If ye endure hard chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We're talking about what's important to God here, disciplining in love. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers to our flesh, which we corrected us and gave us reverence. Shall we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10 says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. No chastisement or no discipline or no trial is fun at the time or enjoyable, but nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so if it's done God's way and we honor the Lord as fathers in our applying correction, applying discipline to our family, which the Bible gives clear instructions, praise God for that. If it's done God's way, it'll bring fruit into their lives and also into our family. For the children's growth, for the children's growth and maturity. Number six, covenant relationships. Malachi 2:15 says, and he did not, and did not he make one, yet he, the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. A carefulness in marriage, a carefulness to the marriage commitment, and recognizing that it is a marriage covenant, and the father represents God's covenant relationship within the family, discusses it, the importance of covenant in the marriage and the family unit. And that indicates the father's crucial part in upholding that. Generational legacy is number seven. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is important to the Lord, just honoring him with this in our family. On Monday evening, we had our men's meeting, and one of the questions was, you know, how does anyone have any good ideas? What is really working for you in your family devotions? And maybe it's not necessarily even a family here, but what is working for you as a couple in your devotional time? What is it inspiring for you to get together to have devotions? And in our discussion time, we discovered we as a group, what I gathered, we as a group have some things to learn. We had some ideas, but we recognize that we, as a group of men, need improvement in our families. And so that's my encouragement this morning. Again, it's not about where we are, it's where we're going. Let's find ways, including me, to have good, healthy family devotions. And I'm opening myself up. Come to me if you find a way that really is working for you. Again, we're going to grow together. We're going the same way. So let's go there together. And let's encourage each other. Let's inspire each other to do that. But here it's saying that we are to teach them diligently when we're sitting down, when we're walking, when we're lying, and when we rise up. And that doesn't give too much time for any excuses of why we shouldn't be pursuing it. So fathers, we are responsible for imparting that wisdom, values, and faith to future generations. Emphasizing and teaching the children about God's commandments, investing into the family, using the Word of God, planting seeds and praying for fruit. Again, some of these things I look back and some of the people that went on before me, some of the grandmothers, the people that had a desire to follow the Lord, and the seeds that they planted, I'm reaping from that today. We are seed planters. We're planting the seed in soil, yes, that is prepared, probably needs a little bit of work, but we're planting seeds into that, and then we are hoping for fruit. And some of this fruit may be in a time we'll never see, but it's still worth it. It's still planting seeds of righteousness. If some of the saints that went on before us, if some of them could look back and see some of their fruit, and maybe they can, I don't know, but if they would be here with us, they would be rejoicing at what they see in you all, right? So we're seed planters. Some of the seeds may not grow to the full potential, but we keep planting, we keep planting, we keep investing, we keep going, and asking God for His Spirit to lead us. Number 8, creating a safe haven. Psalm 103:13, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Again, a father's presence creates stability, it creates security, and it makes a safe place. And the Lord has pity on us. He gave us more than what we deserve, and so we should be to our children. But in some ways, it makes a comparison to God's compassion of a father toward his children and showing and nurturing environments that are essential for healthy development. So with all that, those lists, God values the father's role in the home. Really values that, and it reflects his character, it reflects him in the home, and when he sees that, his blessing is there, like Psalm 133 says, where brethren dwell together in unity. Then a little later it says, there the Lord commands his blessing. And he gives the illustration of oil being poured on Aaron's head, and it just, gravity just naturally takes it down. The Lord just automatically commands his blessing there. Where brethren dwell together, and that can apply to the home. Okay, so a father's commitment to love and guidance. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 28, and we want to draw a picture here, a story from this story here of commitment And just to give a little bit of a background here, David is coming to the end of his life. And if you go back to 22, it says that he, there was one verse there I noticed, says he, David prepared abundantly before his death. So as we go through this chapter here, you'll see David had, he prepared everything. He laid everything out that he had control over and made it available to Solomon to build the temple. And again, his in verse 3, he talks about it. He had it in his mind to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant. So he had this vision of building a temple for the house of the Lord, for it to be worshiped for the house of the Lord. But apparently God told him, there's too much blood on your hands. You can't actually build it yourself. But I picked Solomon to build it for you. In that sense, David could have backed up and said, well, I guess I'm just not qualified, or he just could have sat down. But he didn't. When we go through this chapter, you'll see him diligently working to make available whatever he had control over for his son Solomon to build the temple. And so the first part of the chapter here, David assembled all the princes of Israel. This was a lot of people. The princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers, with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, and the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And as we go through this, I just want to make a point here. He's building a temple. This is a father building a physical temple. And in the New Testament, it talks about our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I get to have a part in this temple. I get to say what goes into this temple or what comes out of it. And so as we draw a parallel here, keep in mind, fathers, you get to control what comes in here and what goes out. You are building a temple, and in that temple, there can also be, it can be viewed as a space of your family is also in a temple. You are building a building, so to speak. Build that well with the resources that God gives you and makes available to you. There is a great inheritance. There was a great inheritance for Solomon to take on and build the temple of God, a physical temple. I wish I could have physically saw that temple. Beautiful. But listen, today we have a spiritual temple that we can build, us fathers first, with our families, and make a difference for many people to worship with. So as we go through here, there's a parallel here that I want to draw from this. This is a physical temple. We get to build our own temple, of course, with God's help, but it is by our choices what goes into that temple and what comes out of it. So David's at the end of his life and his desire for building the temple, but he's entrusting it to Solomon. And just the verse there in verse 2, there, a vision. He had a vision. He had a purpose. But he passed that on to his children. I hear that so many times. I had this vision. When I got born again, I had this vision. I felt God had a purpose in my life, but 70, 80, 90, 100 years was just a little bit short to fulfill that full purpose. But I hear it so many times, my son is taking that on. And when you look what God did for us to make it even possible to build a holy temple, a spiritual temple, he had a plan. He gave his own son to fulfill that purpose. He himself could not do that. He himself could not give his own life, but he gave his son to give his own life for us so we can build a spiritual house, a spiritual temple. And I hear it so many times, my children are fulfilling what I had in mind, what God showed me. My point in saying that is, let's be content with where God has us, and maybe through our faithfulness, through allowing God to process in our own hearts and put us through a process, maybe he will fulfill that in our children. Doesn't mean we have not accomplished something. It means we have accomplished a lot when we walk in peace and contentment. So here was provisions made. Where was I? I think I was in verse 6. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, and if he be constant to do my commandments, listen to this, and my judgments as to this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. That's just what I was talking about. I didn't notice that before. But he is giving that inheritance tremendous value, tremendous monetary value that he was giving. And this morning I'd like to for us to just think about what for inheritance, what access or what resources do we have access to in the spiritual realm? It is totally unlimited. Whatever we ask for, we have access to. Will it be given to us all at one time? We wouldn't be able to handle it. We're humans. We have to process it. We have to apply it. We have to walk it out. We have to occupy it. We need to, I just said on Monday evening, we discovered there's improvement that needs me made here. And again, I'm with you, but we have to occupy it. We have to slowly go into it. We have to walk into that promised land and claim the inheritance, claim the promises, and then we'll see the blessing flow. Tremendous inheritance that they had here. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, serve with him a perfect heart, wow, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee, to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. What did he mean by being strong? I see a big part of that strength here in verse 9 is just a humble heart serving him with a perfect and willing mind. Strength. Then David gave to Solomon, verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and the inner parlors. And it goes on and on. I want to pick out a word that keeps coming up in the King James. I forget what it says in the other versions, but there we see it in verse 11. The pattern of the porch, the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, verse 12. And the treasuries, verse 13. And also for the courses of the priests and the Levites. Notice, let's be reminded, what was the function or what was the responsibility on the Levites. It was to take care of the Ark of the Covenant. They were the ones that were able to work with these things. And so it just gives a perfect picture of, for the courses that God has set us of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. And for all the work of service in the house of the Lord and for all the vessels, these are all things that take a lot of time. And today we have such easy, you could say easy, wonderful access of just entering into the Holy of Holies. The veil has been rent. I'm not going to read all of this. You go down through 14, 15, and you see the order of everything that he was giving him, all the how things are supposed to be. And I wish we had time this morning. I know, Aaron, you have taught already on the tabernacle, just the detail of everything, how it needed to be in such a way that it was perfect. And God provided skill set to that to Solomon's men, his helpers. Beautiful. He makes provisions as we walk with him. All this, said David, down in verse 19, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests of the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship. Oh, here it is. He's supplying the need. He's supplying the skill set and everything that's needed to get the job done. Beautiful picture of what we have access to today. For all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service, the body functioning together, and every need is met in a church, every need is met in the body as we function together well. Again, don't forget, it's serving the Lord with a perfect and a willing heart that causes this to happen. There's a unity about what we're doing. For any manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Then chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. This is a big project. And for the palace is not for man, but what does he say? But for the Lord God. Listen, fathers, our temple is God's temple. This temple that we, this body that we walk in, if we gave our life to Jesus Christ, this temple is God's. What we do with this temple matters. What we do, what goes in, what goes out, matters to God. It's his. We are bought with a price, with his only son, Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us fathers in that. It's not necessarily that we have to do the whole project, as in building the house, the family, everything. It's more about trusting God and doing a few things right. Just a few things. Just a few things, and then God will entrust us with more. I want to wrap up. So we bring honor to him. And he gives us his living word. Sent us his Holy Spirit as our comforter, our teacher, our guide. So let's let our body be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we honor him. When we make, I actually thought of the song that we sang this morning about channels, being channels. Being channels for the Lord Jesus. And then we sang that this morning. Such a truth in that. Such a truth. Being that temple, allowing life to flow through us out to others and especially to those around us. He's given us purpose. He's given us a vision, a plan, and a path to follow as fathers. And the blessing comes in walking in that. So let's take responsibility for our part. Let's commit ourselves to that. And then see what happens. See if the family follows. Is that too tall of a task, men? Can we stand up to that and trust God? Let's take our part in just believing God again with a perfect heart and a willing mind, just in humility, walking before the Lord, keeping that temple clean. Closing scriptures here, Exodus 20 and 12, just giving that honor to the Father. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? So that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And this this command underscores a respect and honor that is shown to the fathers. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So honoring your father and your mother involves a lot. And this morning we're talking about love and respect for the father, caring, acknowledging his leadership, sacrifices and contributions. And this morning, if you're, when your father walks faithfully, when your father walks faithfully, don't let that go unnoticed. Verbalize that. There is many fathers that are unfaithful. And I know that's not our focus this morning, but let's breathe life. Let's speak life into our fathers. I just appreciated a visit with my father the other evening. We were there for just helping them with some of their chores as they're getting older. And just the visit that we had, just sitting there in the yard in lawn chairs with each other and just speaking life to each other. Let's continue that. Let's continue to walk with God in our, as we lead our families and as we serve God and give him honor and glory. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together. God, I pray for the fathers this morning represented here. And those that are not here this morning that are also represented, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would guide us, direct our lives, help us, Lord, to come to a place of excellence, that we walk with your spirit. First of all, Father, that we're approachable and we approach the throne of grace boldly so that we can be approachable. And so, God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct each one of us as we faithfully serve you and commit our ways to you, as we teach, as we train, as we disciple, as we walk with you, walk with our families and our wives. Father, I just pray this morning, just ask God that you would put up a shield of protection against the enemy who wants to destroy. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy things that you build up. So God, make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we just commit this time to you, commit our morning to you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.